This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Benjamin Williams from GamerCon in San Francisco, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy in 94.9. Very special interview and a chat with a gentleman in the UK. Yay, we got there. And it's especially about being a gamer, about video games and sexuality, same-sex sexuality. And we're speaking to Luke Kamali in London, UK. I'm Sonia and...
I'm Johnny Lemon.
So let's get started. Johnny.
So Luke, you're a... writer for IGN UK, and you recently just wrote an article about why there needs to be more gay characters in video games.
I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So the LGBT community is a minority, even more so in the gaming community. So why is it so important that LGBT people be represented in video games?
I think it's just something that we've seen a lot in other entertainment mediums, is that we're slowly seeing it becoming more normalised, that we see gay characters and all of this. And traditionally, we don't really have many depictions of gay characters in games, and also the gaming community, I think, just tends to be a little bit backwards in terms of slightly slow. It's a younger medium. They're slightly slow in kind of growing up and getting to terms with, you know, the way the world is changing and everything little by little. And I think it's incredibly important for developers and publishers and everyone alike not to be afraid of embracing that change and also making games, because games are, you know, an incredibly interactive medium, something that's very, very, very useful for us all to kind of deal with and engage with. And it's an opportunity that I think they're missing at the moment, kind of really be quite progressive. And, you know, we saw with The Last of Us, the Left Behind DLC, it's at the stage where it's starting to come in little by little, but it's interesting talking to various video game writers, especially the old guard, kind of the older writers, they are still a little nervous about putting it in there, whereas there's this younger wave of people coming through now who are gently starting to push it. So I'm optimistic, but I think, you know, it's something that's long overdue.
So basically, Luke Kamali, you wrote and put together an article in the IGN.com online, 28th of February, according to me, about, you know, same-sex topics in games and so on.
Okay, so just a little look at why I think there should be more kind of homosexual characters in games, especially in the light of some of the development we've seen over the past year in terms of quite a few characters have cropped up, peripheral characters, and it's also a reaction to a certain developer called Lucian Solban, who wrote Far Cry 3. He says he doesn't think we'll see a gay protagonist in games for the foreseeable future. And I engaged with that question, went through it, and looked at how much progress has been made and whether I think that will happen or not.
Why are the developers so afraid of making gay protagonists, particularly when there are LGBT people in some very prominent roles in the development studios, like David Gaider at BioWare and Lucian Solban from Ubisoft?
I think it all comes down to, really, right? I don't know if you remember, there was this game that came out last year called Remember Me, and Capcom published that, and there was a huge kind of kerfuffle about having a woman on the front of the box. Even Naughty Dog said with The Last of Us, you know, originally there were qualms about having Ellie on the box. You should just have Joel. So, you know, it's not just gay people who kind of experience it. But I guess it's just, you know, at the end of the day, video game companies are a business, and they don't want to kind of risk, when there's so much development time and effort gone into something, it's a risk for them putting that on the front, because they don't know how it's been received, because it hasn't been done before, right? And so you don't know whether it is going to pay off and they're going to get the plaudits, or that's just going to alienate a lot of their fan bases. The point that I kind of made in this article is that yonks ago we had, you know, it was white men making, straight white men making games for straight white men. And now you look at the makeup of both the development side, as you say, David Gaider, Lucian Silban, others, and also on the kind of gaming side, it's much, much more diverse in terms of women, in terms of sexualities, in terms of everything. I just feel we're a little bit low. We haven't quite caught up.
Apparently, according to Wikipedia anyway, the gender distribution of gamers is 58% male and 42% female. So despite the majority of gamers presumably being heterosexual men, do you think video game with a gay or lesbian protagonist, could it potentially be profitable if it was targeted specifically to gay gamers and female gamers as well?
Tricky, because I think obviously you have to bear in mind when you break that down in terms of the types of genre that people are interested in and everything, you know, you are making it niche. But I mean, the interesting point that I've always thought is, rather than just kind of targeting that and trying to isolate, you know, the straight market, actually, you know, make it available to everyone. I think it's possible, but it's one of these things that to do that, it'd be very, very difficult, I think, because the industry has been something that's traditionally been a bit backwards about dealing with homosexuality. I think any company that did that would look a bit patronizing and like they were, you know, trying to take advantage and like appropriate culture and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, it's a tricky one, but I think prime examples of ways that you can just introduce a character into a game who is gay, that isn't stereotypical, that isn't kind of trying to go into a certain, putting them into a role just in an exploitative way, because that's another thing that, again, Lucian Silban talks about, this whole bait and switch idea of, like, with the example he cites in his brief thing is Dumbledore in Harry Potter, you know, fantastic, there's a gay character, right, that's brilliant, but it's only revealed after the fact, and so you can look at it two ways. You can look at it at J.K. Rowling afterwards kind of retconning it and being like, oh, really, really good, you know, to put that in, get a bit of plaudit, you know, in quite a narrow-minded view, or you can look at it, well, she wrote a fantastic character who happened to be gay, and, you know, it's nuanced, and that's kind of, it's a real gay person, you know, it's his sexuality is a facet of him that doesn't actually bear much relevance to the rest of the story. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't sometimes.
Yeah, a question from me, because I'm not a big gamer, obviously, more the horror sort of side of things, horror films and so on, but just curious, you mentioned J.K. Rowling, and as an example, you know, saying after the fact, like you said, Dumbledore, by the way, is gay. How much do you think in games that's very similar, as fans and gamers and players are actually the people that are pushing the changes compared to the people developing and making the games? Do you think that it's the players that are actually pushing for the change and not the industry?
It's interesting. So, I mean, the reason I actually wrote that article was because I reported on David Gaider and both Lucian Silban in the space of a week, wrote pieces. I wrote, the comments, as you probably expect, were pretty horrendous. But it wasn't so much on the site. It was then through, like, social media, like Twitter and our Facebook and things. People just started reaching out and just saying to me, thank you so much for this. You know, we feel like we're shouting into a vacuum for so long. And so I got to the stage where I was like, actually, the demand is there for change, I think. And it's, and you know, I also kind of think the fact of the matter is the world is changing so much, you know, when, like, we're chatting now and gay marriage has just been legalised in the UK, finally changing, and I think we're at a stage where finally we're about the people become more, like, more accepting. I mean, our review of Left Behind, no one really dislikes the fact about Ellie, who's one of the characters in the game. You know, she has, it's never explicit whether she's a lesbian or not, but she definitely has bi-curious leanings and things. You know, I just think no one really has an issue with that at all. So it's all about the quality that's in there. So definitely, I wouldn't say there's more kind of straight people pushing for it. I would say there's less resistance there, personally.
You mentioned in the comment section of the article itself, which I had a very in-depth read of, there are a few people who are arguing that the game should be about the gameplay and not the sexuality of the characters. So do you think they have a valid argument that the spotlight shouldn't be on the character's sexuality, but so much as the game is a quality product?
It depends very much, I think, on what type of game it is. You know, there are games out there now, like, you know, Fez and stuff like that, that are completely unique prospects. Resogun, you know, I'm not arguing crowbar and homosexuality and stuff like that. But when you have a game that is very, very narrative focused, so your Mass Effect, your Dragon Age, The Last of Us, stuff like that, I fail to see how anyone could argue that, you know, whether or not the protagonist is homosexual or not, that's another issue entirely. But for just some inclusion, some nods to make it seem that, you know, they're not so alone. I mean, there's certain series you're never going to want to touch. Like, see, after I wrote the article, we had a chat in the office about the notion of what if the next Call of Duty game, for example, suddenly decided to, in the story, reference some something to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed.
Right.
And, you know, it's not, as you can imagine how well that would go down, but, you know, it's not COD's role. COD is not known as a narrative franchise, right? Personally, for me, I would focus on the more narrative-focused games because that's also where the change is made. If it's crowbarred in, like with anything, if, you know, hypersexualization or anything is crowbarred into games, it does impair the finished product. And so, yeah, I do understand their argument and I do get it. Similarly, when you're talking about narrative games, I have absolutely no idea why anything should be taboo or just you should be afraid of kind of doing it because of market or crashes or whatever.
So basically, Luke Kamali, you wrote and put together an article in the IGN.com online, 28th of February, according to me, about, you know, same-sex topics in games and so on.
You mentioned that games like Dragon Age and BioWare and also Mass Effect, Sims, they give you an option to play as the gay character. So should developers perhaps go down the road of developing games that give the player the flexibility to explore rather than outright gay characters in a narrative?
So personally, I think that that's something that I very much approve of and I very much enjoy. There is, again, an element of... it depends. Some people are very militantly progressive and are very, very keen, you know, that is kind of another hands-off way of them doing it. You know, the option's there if you want it and all of this, but we're not going to explicitly stick our heads above the parapet and put it in. Some people feel that should be done. That's not something that really bothers me too much. I mean, the one kind of caveat to that is the thing about The Last of Us Left Behind DLC, it came out of left field. And actually, I imagine that Lucian Soban probably did that interview with the Ubisoft blog maybe just after Left Behind release, maybe just before. I'm not sure how aware he was that Ellie is the protagonist and she is, you know, that his argument's not flawed, but that's at least one very prominent example. But no, to go back to your question, I think that it's very, very important that developers don't feel hamstrung into making the game that, you know, they feel should be made, you know, both ways. And Mass Effect and Dragon Age handled it very, very well. Because, you know, point of video games, and again, why I think we do need to catch up with other entertainment mediums, is just because, you know, it's such a different experience to play through in someone else's shoes. You know, the great thing is they managed to get gay content into those games, partly because, you know, they could say to their publishers and the studio heads and stuff, oh, look, don't worry about it, because there's no gay content there if you don't want there to be. It's tricky.
More often than not, when LGBT people are represented in games, it tends to be with fairly stereotypical and flamboyant characters. Do you think that these stereotypes work against the progress of equal representation, much like the objectification of women in games, or is it good that gay characters exist at all, even if they are mildly offensive?
So that's the thing, right? I mean, that's always going to be the dilemma. So, as I say, my big concern is, again, bringing up Sylvan's kind of comment about the whole bait and switch thing, because the introduction of Ellie, I mean, Neil Druckmann, who's the guy who wrote The Last of Us and kind of came up with the whole idea, when he wrote the original Last of Us, he said that he didn't really give any thought to Ellie's sexuality. And then when he actually came to write the second, the DLC, they were like, oh, well, you know what, maybe she is a lesbian. And so they thought about it, they wrote it in, fine, but there's that whole notion of the bait and switch again, like that Dumbledore thing of, oh, here's this character, and then afterwards, when no one's figured it out, the creator's just like, oh, you know, they're gay. And the worry there is that they make you kind of grow to love this character, and then they reveal it afterwards. So you can't hate them, but it's a little bit shady, because is it just kind of, you know, saying, oh, look, we are progressive, when in actual fact, as I said earlier, you're not really sticking your head above the parapet. I think traditionally we've seen a lot of stereotypes. They are cutting down now, and as I say, we're seeing characters, fantastically written characters, who are gay, rather than gay characters, which is, you know, what I would say is the stereotype. There's a long way to go, but I think their inclusion from time to time isn't the end of the world, as long as they're likable. Because the point I make, and especially, as I say, when I first wrote that story and I got all these responses in, it's just how alone some people feel. And I mean, IGN's main audience is always and has always been middle America. And you know, you've got the kid in the small town sitting at home playing video games, you know, knowing he's gay, not really having the courage to talk to anyone about it. And yeah, he might look at that and be like, that's not me. I'm not that overt kind of extrovert camp gay guy. But by the same token, it's showing the cult that, you know, culture does accept people like that in certain ways. So I don't know. It's tricky. If we could get nuanced characters, and I think we're heading there, and I hope we have more of it, that's the dream, but otherwise, you know, any visibility is better than none.
That's true. And that brings me to a question there, Luke. And of course, that's with GamerX. I'm not sure if you're aware of them over in the US, in San Francisco.
Yes, it's the convention, right? In San
Yeah, Francisco. Convention, and they've got quite a healthy following and online community as well. And they're a bunch of queer gamers, of course. And an interesting article in the Huffington Post quite recently, around about the same time as your article came to our attention. And that is, they just put a list, basically, of why they think it's important to be out as a gamer, as a gamer geek, and why it's important to have places for queer people to go and feel comfortable, and that it's, you know, like you said, it's about visibility and everything. And some of the aspects they're looking at seem quite simple, really. For one thing, one of the guys talks about that it was an escape for him playing games because he grew up in the closet, and video games for him was an escape, and it distracted him from depression and the denial that he felt within. It helped him forge friendships online that he wouldn't have been able to in any other sort of way. So that community, this is funny, it helped him avoid talking about and even dating girls, which is quite cute, quite cute, but kind of sad, kind of genuine and authentic. And I think, you know, what are your thoughts about, do we need those spaces like GamerX? Is it important? And another question, is there something similar in the UK?
Yeah, and so as far as I'm aware, we don't actually have a similar thing in the UK. I mean, I was actually, after the article, we kind of had brief discussions about whether I would possibly go to the GamerX convention and see if I could cover it at all. But nothing to, it's not looking too likely because it takes place in San Francisco, which is where our US base is. So, spending that money to fly me over there when we already have people on the ground doesn't seem to make sense.
But you'd be coming from a valuable international aspect, I reckon, perspective.
Yes, I mean, it's something that we're still talking about. Yeah, so we'll see. Cool. But I mean, there are LGBT journalists who work for us in the States as well. So it's, you know, and it's actually quite comforting, like, how we are a very diverse organization and things. But I mean, in terms of, you know, being a safe space and people needing those communities, I think it's very, very important. I mean, I've come from a background quite heavily of MMOs. I've played a lot of them. Guild Wars 2, I talked to ArenaNet quite a lot, and I spoke to the game director, Colin Johansson, after this article came out, because they featured two prominent, they've got a lesbian couple, and at the front of their living story that kind of updates, and they've just finished season one, and they promised me season two, they're going to be front and center right again. And I think it is really important. Like, MMOs, for me, traditionally, have been a lot. It's very, very weird how many people I've played with personally, and it could just be a coincidence, but a lot of them do seem to be homosexuals, just trying to find like-minded individuals. And I think that's what it's all about. As I say, you know, if you are from the Midwest, or have you in America, or you're just from quite a small town, you know, and that small town mentality, and, you know, everyone does the same thing, everyone does what's expected of them, it's incredibly important to find people who, you know, kind of help you out. I mean, it's a shame that we don't have anything in the UK that's similar, but hopefully, you know, the success of GamerX, you know, in some way inspires similar things to happen over here. But as I say, the reaction from that article I wrote, it did come from all around the world. So we'll see.
My last question that I've got is, in a hypothetically perfect world, how would you like to see the LGBT community represented in games?
In a hypothetically perfect one?
Yeah. Because we know that's not possible.
Okay, so I personally, I do agree with part of what people say. Like, you know, when I played Tomb Raider, now Lara Croft is a hypersexualized character and always has been.
Right.
Although they did dial it down slightly for the reboot. It's not that relevant, her sexuality. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who play it and, you know, have ideas and all of this. But it's interesting, I did, when I was kind of doing research for this, for the feature, I did read one thing that argues in the reboot she's actually lesbian lovers with Sam, and if you view it from that perspective, it's, and so she's, when she's trying to rescue her, that's why she cares so much. But anyway, who knows? But basically, I think what really needs to happen on that front is, I quite like the way it was handled in The Last of Us. I'm not too wary of the whole bait and switch thing. I think at this stage, any visibility is better. And it's slightly deceptive, but I actually feel it's more deceptive for people who don't, you know, support gay rights and things like that, because they think they're playing this game, they grow attached to these characters, and then suddenly they're sprung on, oh, this character's homosexual, and you know what, it hasn't made a damn bit of difference for the last 18 hours you've been playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Still care about this person. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's quite a good way to do it. And something that I do again touch on in the article is, we often see developers happily including lesbians in games, because I think straight male is perfectly happy to either fetishize that or just completely, you know, kind of undervalue female sexuality. It's not a threat, whereas male, like, sexuality is more threatening. So I'd like to see more, I'd like to see more straight, more homosexual males in games, personally. And other than that, I just think, for me, it's all about, don't crowbar it in, write a good character, and you know what, if it works to make them gay, and you could go either way with it, just do your best and just, you know, take a punt, because I think, and I'm not wanting a gay character in every game, you know, that's not real life, but I think we shy away from the issue too much, and I think it's gone on for too long, really.
It has, because for me, just finally, it sort of creates a bit of confusion. Are there a lot of characters? Are there not? Because there is that back and forth that's going on in the media and online communities, the discussion. I mean, it's good to have that discussion, but it does raise questions, and I guess it becomes a bit of an irritant for some people, maybe for the straight community as such.
Yeah, there were quite a few comments as well that felt like the inclusion of gay characters was making a political statement or was serving some kind of agenda to...
Agenda, that's
because
the
of the state of, you know, the political gay marriage type of arguments that are going on at the moment.
What are your thoughts there, Luke? I mean, have you had a lot of... You've obviously had some positive feedback as well, but in general, how do you feel that the more sort of generic gamer feels about your article and about what you were saying?
I think a lot of people, you know, very, very blessed that they don't have to think about it. And so, to be honest, I think some people are probably quite apathetic to it, and that's absolutely fine. It's a vocal minority that are always going to scream and shout and rant and rave. And we get a lot of that on IGN. We're very big. We get a lot of people just trolling just for the sake of it, really. So, no, I mean, I think I can understand why. It was quite a timely piece as well in terms of everything that is going on with gay marriage and so on. But I just got to the stage where, actually, David Gaber's piece was the one that really got to me, because there's a line in it, David Gaber, who's the BioWare writer who worked on Dragon Age and Mass Effect and things. He basically wrote this piece, and he said, I came to the conclusion that, you know what, if there's a 10-minute segment in a 20-hour game that makes, you know, some people uncomfortable, but it gives 2% of the people who play it the chance to feel validated and see something that, you know, they don't see anywhere else, they don't feel so alone, then really that's incredibly irresponsible of the majority to try and take that away from the repressed minority. And I completely agree with that. So I think there are people who are uncomfortable about it, but you know what? We do have quite a young demographic that reads the site, and there's always the... I think a lot of people obviously are brought up with that, those kind of views, those very narrow-minded views. And it's when they actually get out into the real world and meet people and just kind of experience that actually everyone's just a person and all of this, they get more accepting. So the reaction I got on the site wasn't great, but the reaction when it went out to social media and out to other people, like, you know, in the industry, out of the industry, it was much, much better and overwhelmingly positive from both members of the LGBT community, but also allies. So I think it was well worth it.
I can imagine with allies, and we're talking, you know, when you're saying what you just said, obviously, that if there's just 10 minutes in a 20-hour game where it's representative of, you know, queer people and LGBTIQ, fine. Why not? I don't see a problem myself. And of course, looking back in history, women were saying the same thing for years. Even now, you know, when you switch on the main media here in Australia, you still see men doing the main news read of the day and so on and so on, and women do the weather, you know, and it's only 5 minutes of an hour or something, or even less, but that's still something, you know. And it's not like we're asking for the crumbs, it's just asking for, in my point of view, to be there, because to be included, because we are part of the world too. And I'm meeting so many crazy gamers like Johnny and now like yourself, crazy in a good way, and very passionate about this. And it's important to be represented, because, you know, it'd be pretty dull and, you know, boring world, and there'd be some really, dull games, I'm sure, without being included.
Completely. And I mean, like, just from talking to some developers recently, I think, people are very aware of it, and the companies as well are quite aware of it and keen to push it out. It's just, you know, it's figuring it out, and I think that's what we're seeing now. It's happening. It's just a case of maybe being a little bit bolder.
Yeah, exactly. Well, certainly what a bold and wonderful article from IGN back in February of 2014 by you, Luke Carmali, and over there all the way in the UK. And I must thank you for taking some time here. Well, it's our Sunday morning, but your Saturday night, you probably want to go out. No doubt.
Well, it's absolutely fine. I've had a busy week, so I'm currently just sitting at home relaxing, which is absolutely fine with me.
Waiting for these Aussies to get their bloody act together with the telephone.
Yeah, thank you for your patience on that, by the way.
Oh, no worries at all, honestly. Like, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Luke Marley.
Okay, well, thank you so much, guys, for talking to me. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you very much, Luke. All right.
Beautiful Princess Sonia, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! You're number one. Woohoo! Hello to all of my friends on a sci-fi and scream on Joy 94.9. Number one. Woohoo!
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.